Hello, welcome to Bagel Tech Big, the weekend show from the Bagel Tech Network with me, Ewan Rankin, and I'm going to leave the bit where Sarah just slagged off the Liverpudlians there because it's be good fun. And welcome to another week in technology, as seen through the eyes of some seriously upset and demented people. Starting with top left corner, Mr. Kyle Swagger. How you doing, mate?
Good. How about yourself?
Yeah, I'm fine, man. Bright and early there, and fit and raring to go. Are you going back to bed after this, though?
No. That would be unlike me. I still have to post media.
I was going to say, because you were too lazy yesterday and didn't post the media show.
Yeah. I kind of wanted to get those 3 hours of sleep. So
honesty's always the best.
Good now,
honesty's always the best policy, mate. Rejoining us for a fantastically wonderful rejoining welcome, Dane Golden from Hey Dane. How you doing, man?
Thank you very much.
Good to have
you. Visit me at hey.com. That's my site.
Well, okay. So if you only came to plug, then that's that done.
And thank you, and I'll be signing off now.
Yes, of course.
No, right. I'm very excited to be here. Thanks
Jolly
for having
good.
Me again.
Thank you for shoving Eric this way last week. He was a lot of fun, but I'm not sure he's going to come back now. He's wise to us.
Oh, he really enjoyed it. He's top notch.
He is. He's a good lad. We enjoyed having him on very much indeed. And just a little bit dim, and I don't mean that in a bad way. I'm talking about the brightness on his screen. Bottom right, we've got Mr. Troy King. How's it going, mate?
I'm angry, Ewan.
About time. Rant of the week this week?
Let's just say that carrier-free speech equals a healthy dose of rage and fist-pounding.
Good man. I like the death group. Get death, what's it cometh last week. That was a very good ending.
Thank you.
Very theatrical, mate. Glad to see you're all right and they didn't quite get you. And last but by no means least, of course, the rose between all us thorns, Sarah Jane. Hello.
Hello, Ewan.
How's things?
I was having a good week until
about
an hour
QPR
ago.
Got shagged by Watford.
We played really, really badly.
You did pay like a bunch of professionals, and I'm not talking about professionals there. I'm talking about prostitutes, really, because it was just that bad.
I know what you mean.
It wasn't very good, was it? No.
No, it was terrible.
Yes, as football goes, that wasn't it.
No.
Soccer, sorry, for those of you that are hard of sport. Right.
Anyway.
The week in technology. Something happened with Google. Can't remember.
Yeah, there were so many things that I kind of got lost.
Special.
I've got to say, as huge releases go and as media events go, is there a certain element where you send out a little bit more than the media can cope with? Because I think that's what's happened, hasn't it? Is there anyone who thinks that off the top of their head right now they could give me a complete list of all the Google releases this week?
I bet we probably didn't hear about half of them.
Exactly. They've been leaking out left, right, and centre as we've gone on. They did too much, I think. No? Yes? No?
It was a Google week. It really was. I mean, it was like their own little, I don't know, their own little CES this week.
They wanted the headlines, didn't they? They wanted to try and do an Apple, except Apple released three products at a time and still steal the headlines all week because then everyone slags them off. Whereas Google, big splash, and then it's gone a bit quiet as well.
Well, it has something to do with Chrome OS. We were all excited, and now you get to sign up for a little program so you can get a testing little netbook with it on it. That was a bit disappointing. I was thinking we would finally be able to get to download the thing and try it out for ourselves.
Well, they've had Chrome OS in beta, haven't they? I mean, I downloaded it a few months back, but I couldn't load it on anything.
Exactly.
It wasn't much of a beta trial. So when you sign up for the beta then, so you now get a free netbook with it as part of your beta.
What, if you're a developer, or I guess if they approve you, if they find you fit enough to receive a netbook.
Ah, well, that's a slot out then. Jolly good.
And I think it's US only, right?
Well, Tech Radar did get a copy of one because they posted a little review on it. So maybe just journalistic intent, but yeah, US only it would seem. The laptop has actually got some fairly decent reviews though, hasn't it?
Except for Flash, yeah.
Yeah, the Flash thing's a bit of a glitch, but I just want to say as well, if anyone else fancies joining in with me and Kyle, you're more than welcome.
Yeah, please do, because I'm sick of talking.
Does anyone think that it was interesting that Gingerbread premiered during the Christmas season? the Android Gingerbread platform.
Well, Christmas and gingerbread do seem to go together, do they not? Especially at Starbucks.
Gingerbread House and the Nexus S is the first phone, Samsung.
Yeah, there does seem to be a bit of favoring of Samsung. And I think Google described it as of giving Samsung a window of opportunity to maximize their potential with them.
And HTC blew it.
Well, now everyone raved about the Nexus One, didn't they? And that was an HTC platform.
Mm. Yeah, it was.
Everyone raved about it, said it was a good... I mean, Leo said it was the smoothest platform for Android he'd seen. Everything went really smooth and swimmingly. So why not go back to them? Why all of a sudden dump it for Samsung? Is it processor? Is it memory? Is it...
I think it's because Samsung has got some of the nicest screens. The Galaxy S phones have fantastic screens, having a vibrant myself. Next to the iPhone 4 and the Retina display, it is the best AMOLED screen in the mobile phone market. And so why not have your new flagship phone, Nexus S, be a fantastic 4-inch screen with this awesome processor? And Samsung is clearly doing things right. I talked about in Bagel Tech Droid last week that Samsung, they sold 30% of the Android phones sold in quarter three were Samsung phones, which is huge for one company. So I think it just makes good sense. And HTC, they've had their shot. They maximized it out. They brought Android into the world, if you will. And Motorola, well, come on, they're crap now. Who cares? So Samsung really is the only way to go.
There you go. You heard it first here. Motorola are crap.
So do you not rate the Droid X then?
Well, Droid X, I'm sure, is, you know, they got to have one winner in there, I suppose. But the rest are all just rubbish.
Now, were they talking about releasing 20 phones this year, weren't they? I mean, that was the big thing. You know, there's going to be 20 Motorola phones come out in 2010. I can only think of three. But I've seen more. I know I've seen more, but I can't remember their names. Is that not synonymous with the problem, perhaps? You release 20, and we're back to the same problem with Google. You release too much, no one remembers it. You get one or two. The Droid was a big issue, but then the other craps that have come out have not really stuck in the mind, have they? I mean, it's...
Yeah, because I mean, you have the Droid 2, the Droid Incredible, the Droid X. They're all very similar, varying in screen sizes, but even I have a hard time keeping track. I got to build a chart here pretty soon to keep track of all these phones that are coming out.
And of course, they've got two Windows 7 ones out, haven't they? Didn't they put two out for Windows 7 phone, 7 series? 7?
HTC?
No, Motorola.
Motorola.
Okay. Keep up, Troy.
Well, I don't keep track of Windows Phone 7. That's the biggest pile you can put on your doorstep.
Well, it's flagging a bit as well. Sorry, Dane.
And they're calling it, I think they're removing the 7 from the operating system. They're just calling it Windows Phone now, and they are tied for third with everyone else.
I was going to say, exactly.
I was going to say, tied with who? Isn't anyone else, is there?
Yes, three is also Migo.
BlackBerry.
Moorestown.
WebOS. Everyone else. Nokia.
Nokia, sorry.
Well, you say that, but Symbian's still the number one, isn't it?
Symbian is still number one, but I think that's because of countries like I live in. Asia, it's still dominant here. I mean, the Symbian OS, it's funny because, you know, I'm sitting here looking at probably getting myself a nice little new phone for Christmas, and I'm going out looking at the stores, and everybody's still trying to sell me a Symbian Nokia phone over here. And I look at them like, I'm sorry, it's not 1999 anymore, and... But they are still very, very popular. The thing about Nokia, they make really, really good, solid phones. They're time and tested. You can drop the things. You can throw them against the wall. You could probably run them over. You could have the rage go through them with Troy. They will still work. So I think that's what makes a good Nokia phone. However, though, the Symbian OS, it's very much a dinosaur. And Nokia is not doing anything, as far as I'm concerned, to try and save their lunch with that. I think it's best if Nokia ever would get into the smartphone business as it is now. Android would be their best bet.
Have we all owned a Nokia phone at some point?
I have.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, Troy? Yep.
No, I've most of my you're not old enough. Flip phones, my dumb phones, were Motorola, which is why I used to like them. But I have a number of friends that have used Nokia, and yeah, they're great phones.
See, I never got a really nice experience with a Nokia phone. I never found the menus that intuitive or easy to follow. I always found trying to navigate to go through contacts and that kind of thing, attaching contacts. And when it started getting into email, it threw me entirely. I do not want to know. And email drove me mad to the point that I just said, right, stuff it. And I had my first BlackBerry then. And for email, BlackBerry was heaven. It's still the best phone for email I ever had was the BlackBerry Curve.
Well, let's face it. Before the iPhone, in my opinion, most phones, BlackBerry, which I never had one, is an exception, I'm sure, but was really just a torture device that you paid for. And with, you know, the smartphones, it's really changed things. And it became an enabling device instead of just something that was designed to piss you off.
Yeah, and no, I mean, when we're talking about a device that you buy to hate or to give you pain, then we're back to chat roulette, really, aren't we?
Oh, right. I've got an appointment coming up there, and I'm going to do a split screen. I hope this isn't going to interfere with the broadcast.
Oh, dear me. Oh, dear me. How many clicks to penis? That's the key. My CTP ratio.
There was, by the way, the RIM CEO.
No, we're not doing rimming. No, no, no. Sorry, we've got a clean tag. We've got a clean tag day, and I just can't go into that. I'm sorry, man. Just leave it alone.
The BlackBerry.
The BlackBerry. Oh, sorry. Right, got you. Rim. Yeah, sorry.
Research in Motion. He spoke at the D Mobile conference, the thing that All Things Digital's running this last week, basically, one of the articles said, what the heck is he talking about? They said, why are you sticking with this operating system? And basically just gave a bunch of numbers and facts and figures, and no one could figure out what the heck. It sounded like a Mark Zuckerberg speech, evidently.
You like it because I tell you you like it.
That's pretty good, dude. No, so, I mean, well, mobile phone buying has always been, in the UK, a nightmare. There's been, I don't know how many phone plans are available for each type of phone, and then you've got to factor in whether it's better to buy the unit or whether you're going to go on X month plans and get a charge of £200 for the phone over 24 months or £250 over 18 months. And they did a thing here when you actually looked at the combinations a little sort of about 10 years ago. There was 4,000 possible combinations of phone purchase with plans.
It's the hardest possible thing you could figure out to buy until now, which you pretty much have a choice between, you know, iOS and Android. But it used to be the most complicated thing. Don't even bother trying to understand the plans.
No, absolutely.
Here's what Nokia needs to do. And Nokia, I'm going to patent this tomorrow. So if you want this idea, you can go ahead and ring me up. But develop a phone that's just a phone, the phone that's, you know, fantastic as always, that everyone loves. But then I give it one extra capability: 3G, 4G data connectivity with Wi-Fi tethering. Then we can connect our iPads, Android devices, tablets, what have you, tether it to the phone with the data connection. Now we've got an awesome phone and a device that does all this other stuff. That it's not a phone, it's just it does stuff, but it shares the data with the actual phone. I think that would have a huge market.
That's like saying I want a healthy dose of simplicity, but I want two cubes of complex, please. I've given up sugar. Can you put two in that tea for me? I don't get that at all, because that's, you know, you want data connectivity, but you don't want anything that's complicated on the phone to stop it being a phone. Has anyone ever
exactly
got...
Exactly.
I mean, that's John's phone
I
at the moment.
I agree with Troy on this. I think that's a really good idea.
Well, having
it's
a phone?
It's about the phone manufacturers accepting that the phone is just a phone, and you're providing the connectivity for the data so that you can use it, the tablet device, purely through Wi-Fi. But actually get your data plan through the phone.
Because how many times have we heard that iPhone 4 is a terrible phone? And, you know, this is a way to sidestep that and maybe get people like Kerry Holzman, get them into a smart device, but they can still have the quality of a good, rock-solid phone.
Yeah, well, good luck with that.
Yeah.
Just a thought.
No, but I mean, I just don't get that. I mean, is the iPhone a bad phone because of everything else that's on it? Or is it a bad phone because they didn't spend enough time developing the phone chassis for it?
Because they didn't spend enough time developing the phone.
I don't think it's a bad phone.
Well, now it's not.
Honestly. No. I don't think it's a bad phone. And we're sitting here right now debating this issue because of the iPhone.
True.
You know, fine, HTC was probably the first in the market to do all the touch screen thing, but Apple made it commercial, like they always do. The first iPhone launch, we had lines upon lines upon lines of people lining up midnight and everything for that phone. They've revolutionized the industry. There's no denying it. There's no going back with that. There's no way Android would be as popular now or have pushed so far without the popularity of Apple. We have to hand it to them. I'm not a fanboy here, but we're sitting here debating this, talking about how Nokia's crap, how Android is getting there, and what the iPhone is actually the cause of all of that.
I just...
As far as Nokia, I think they're dead, honestly. They've got to get the hell out of Symbian, and they won't do it.
Can you honestly see Nokia going to Android? Wholesale. Everything.
It would be in their favor, but they won't do it.
No.
Wow. And the interesting thing as well this week with Google was that they're activating 300,000 Android phones per day, and they're not charging for the OS. So all the stuff with the carriers delaying giving out the upgrades to 2.2, 2.3, and so on, is all down to the carriers bothering to do it, because it isn't cost. According to the Google outlet, they don't make a red cent. They don't franchise it, they don't license it, they don't get a dime from doing Android.
They could work it out in their agreement that you have to maintain a certain speed of upgrade, though. I mean, that's not changing anything giving away free. You have to update with a certain time if you have a certain hardware spec.
You're saying Google should say that?
They could. I don't see what's keeping them from doing that.
And I think Google's making money from it too. I mean, come on.
They're not making a red cent, mate.
That's according to them, but there's got to be some little bit, some piece of paper somewhere that's somebody's getting some perks somewhere.
According to the people that are giving it away, they're saying, we're honestly giving it away, and you're skeptical. Have you thought of seeing a doctor about that?
Yeah, but there's got to be advertising or something there. There's something. Come on.
Yeah, that's how they make their money, is by advertising.
Nobody gives anything free anymore.
What? Okay. Bull crap. Who's got an Android phone? Are you absolutely swamped, ridden, humped with adverts? You're a droid. You're an Android user, then, Troy. Are the adverts contained within the applications, or does the phone itself provide you with applications through the OS?
The ads come through the apps, like an Angry Birds, for example. There is a little window in the bottom that gives you your ad, and if you want to click on it, then it opens up a web browser, and you can view the ad in more detail there.
There's your money.
Just like the iPhone.
There's your money. That's your money right there. Now, that's where they're making their money.
Can developers develop applications without advertising in? Or do you always have to have an advert in your application?
Oh, there's plenty of apps that don't have advertising, and they're free apps. I mean, Opera Mini, for example, is a free app, but they don't charge they don't have advertising when I'm browsing the web.
So that's just like the iPhone yet again. So, is Google making money from the OS? Kyle, do you want to answer that?
I was going to say, probably from the actual OS. Then probably not.
Oh! But
they're probably... What I'm saying, though, it's smoke. It's all smoke and screens and everything else. They are making money from the Android platform somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
From the ecosystem.
It's okay. I grant you that there is a system that is developed associated with Android, but the Android OS itself is being developed and improved constantly and giving you better hardware functionality, better battery life, all those kind of things. You don't need a longer battery life so you can sell more advertising. That's bullshit. I got to bleep that now, haven't I?
I don't know. I just get a bit angry when I see a company stick their, we don't make anything off of this. No, they make up for it somewhere else. it's either in the Android market or what have you. No, maybe it's not from the OS. This is their, it's like the Google thing. You know, we're going to give it to you free, but we're going to stick some ads with it, you know, which I'm not pissed about it. I'm absolutely fine with it. I think Android is the up and coming platform, and in some cases is probably better than the iPhone because of what it lends to developers.
But there was a whole pile of chat, 10 years ago about you were going to get a free PC. There was never going to be a charge for PCs anymore because when you switched it on, all you had to go through was 30 seconds of adverts and that would be it. And you would get the free hardware for the basis of just getting that advert at the start. The hardware is not giving you an advert at startup. The OS is not giving you an advert at startup. All they've done is created a clothesline for other people to hang washing on, and you don't have to have the washing the colour that they want. You can put the washing up that they want and make more money from it, but that's your choice. Now, I don't see that. I still see the OS as being fairly, predominantly egalitarian at that point. I don't see it as being just something that I can then hang other things off and make money from. It's no different than Apple. They're not. They're no bigger bandits than Apple are.
I was going to say, could this be about gaining market share before they actually do what they want to do with it?
Oh dear, now there's a scary thought, isn't it? Bend over, because, here it comes.
Because free, you know, hey, who's not going to do that? Who's not going to go for that, given a choice?
So do we really see Google as lining us up for a good shafting here?
I'm not saying they are, but I'm saying that's the possibility because, you know.
Larry
and Sergey are just over 30 or something like that now?
Yeah, well, you never know. You never know. So, espionage and all that crap, you never know.
Based on the fact I've drunk nearly two bottles of wine tonight on my own, I think they're going to outlive me.
The thing is, though, if you think about it, Google give an awful lot of stuff away for free.
Well, they have.
So, why is this any different from anything else that they give away for free?
Because I firmly believe they're making money somewhere on this.
This is just another product. This is just another piece of software.
Mm-hmm. There's a comment in the chat room, and Alex is getting quite shirty because he's written a comment here saying, "Read my 10:34 comment, please."
Has anyone actually paying attention to the time?
Yeah, I've got to go back to 10:34. Once it's out on people's phones, you can make money from advertising at a later date, which is what I think we've been saying. But what I'm actually saying there is that did they? There's a sideline to that, which is no different from the iOS 4.2.1, 4.3 potentially if we get the subscriptions through in the next week or so with that. But the OS is free to people to use. They're not forcing advertising through it later on, and it's been around, 2 years now? 2-3 years? No one's being forced to put advertising on their phone. The OS stands by itself as a free OS.
It's just a foot in the door. It's one more reason to talk about Google, one more way for them to get that search revenue dollar. That's all it is, really.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Bagel Tech Cynic, and I'm trying hard to keep the ballast here, but never mind.
So it is about market share then?
I don't think it is. There's an egalitarian process there that's fine, and the fact that they can sell advertising in afterwards is a fringe benefit. They're not pumping it. They're not forcing you to have it. If at some point they do go forward and they force you to have it, then I'll gladly eat my words and I'll say, liar, liar, pants on fire, Larry and Sergey. But I don't know that that's the case.
Can I pose another thought here?
Sure.
It's quite possible that some of the motivation just for having the Android platform at all is simply to have a counterbalance to Apple. Whereas if Apple says, you know what, we're not going to allow Google Maps on our phone, we're not going to allow Google Voice, we're not going to allow these things, that drives people to the other phone. And in fact, by having that other platform, that gives something for Apple to compete against and keeps the Apple platform more open than it would be.
Does anyone actually think that Apple would be so stupid as to eliminate Google from their system?
If there was no competition, yes, in the OS on the mobile, why not? That would be, I wouldn't be shocked at all if Apple did that.
I agree. We know Steve Jobs. We know
they've got a track record of trying to control everything.
Yeah. We know
so
the mind
of Steve.
I think
what Dane's saying could very, very well be true. And if it's not, then I'm really glad they're doing it, because it probably is stopping Apple from even considering doing that.
Alex is telling me to read out his comment from 1036, which is, it's all to stop Apple getting world domination.
World domination.
I nearly got that confused with the adverts are intrusive on Angry Birds, but it's a different person. Gary, thank you. Sorry. I don't know. Because the thing, if we go back to being just, let's go back to being just punters. I've done this a bit this week because I felt a bit stupid and a bit tired. You know, what do I want from my phone? I want a phone that does basic things. It's got to make a call, gather my email, give me a couple of things to play with when I'm stuck on traffic and I'm on the train, and maybe play a movie, play some music for sure, and on podcasts, that kind of stuff. Brilliant. I want it to have Google Maps on it, because I do use that quite a bit when I've been walking around, and I've used Scoble and things like that, which runs into Google Maps. And if Apple is saying, well, we've got our own map system and you've got to use our map system now, I don't think the average consumer wants that. I mean, there's a percentage of consumers that want maps and they don't care where it comes from. But I think there's a lot of people who are tied in with things like Google Docs and all that kind of stuff. They want everything everywhere all the time. And I think that's the way that the mobile market is going. If you look at the stuff that Nokia have done and Sony Ericsson with the pairing up thing, you know, everything everywhere, the T-Mobile thing, I think that's what people actually want. They want to be able to have what they want on their phone wherever they go. And I think the more that Apple tie it down and the more that Android keep opening it up, Android is going to absolutely kill Apple. And if Apple start doing stuff like clamping it down even further by chucking out Google, Bing, Yahoo, you know, any of those kind of things, I think they're in deep poop.
And I still think they'll do it.
But you think they'll do it anyway?
Yeah, I do. People want Flash on their phone. Have you seen Apple give in to that? We have to use Skyfire browser to get Flash on the iPhone now. I mean, our job says it's crap, therefore it's crap. It's not going to be on Apple's platform. And lo and behold, Flash is on 2.2 on Android. Yeah, I'm glad that there's choices, and I think Android is the best player in the market right now to take on Apple. In fact, right now, I think it's the only one. I mean, this whole thing started off with Nokia, and you were sitting there about everything about what you want on your phone. Well, everything you want on your phone there, Ewan, it's not going to come from Nokia. It's going to come from iPhone, and it's going to come from Android. And I love seeing them deal it out with each other to see who wins. Right now, technically, statistically wise,
the market needs to stop one player from dominating.
Yeah, but
right now, Android is winning technically on paper.
That's the point, though. If there's a winner, we all lose.
Yep.
That's what's no good about these kind of fights. No, that's the problem with Blu-ray. Blu-ray versus HDVD. What's the problem with Blu-ray versus HDVD? Blu-ray won, and it was the worst thing you could possibly happen to the customer.
That comes back to, if you want an example of that, just think about the conversation we had a few weeks ago about the competition between broadband providers in the UK versus the US.
Yeah, we haven't got two main suppliers here. We've got, you know, 10, 12 that you can buy it from, an open and deregulated system. And as a result, we've got healthy competition and low prices, whereas you guys are absolutely screwed.
Well, can we just get off broadband? I just get depressed every time we start talking about bandwidth.
Sorry, Kyle.
Well, we'll get off broadband when you get that message in about another 3 minutes, mate. No real time here.
It's going to be even more depressed with me next week then.
Why? Are you on 40 megabits next week?
I will be next from Wednesday.
Next Wednesday is when you're getting. Oh, that's about the time I'll hear about it.
There was an article this week, if you're interested, on Tech Radar from a guy called Gary Marshall as well, that says Chrome OS, what's the point? And it was very, very well written. So go and have a read of that one. VGA is going to die in the next 12 months, allegedly.
I thought it already did.
Well, that's the question: is has it already died? I mean, has anyone got a brand new Mac or a brand new PC that's got VGA on it?
Yes.
It's a brand new computer and it's got VGA on it.
It's about 2 weeks old.
It's still got VGA.
It's a laptop, but it's got VGA. Oh, it has got HDMI, but it's also got VGA on it as well.
So HDMI is big, very forward thinking. DVI is about as good as it gets, or mini DVI on most of the Apples. do we really need VGA or not?
I think it's going to be here for some time to come.
Really?
I think it may be that the manufacturers actually stopped producing it, but there's so many devices out there, smart boards and whatever, that still use it, that I think it'll still be around for a hell of a long time.
See, and I that surprises me, because VGA is what's considered analog, correct?
Yeah.
It's considered analog.
Yeah.
So, and I'd figure with all our, you know, piracy worries and everything tied in with that, we would want to go, these computer companies, the hardware, the software, would want to go digital so they can hard code and everything and make sure that we're not trying to steal anything.
Because that's worked.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Without a doubt.
That's a good reason to resist it, if you ask me.
It doesn't stop them trying.
I'm just saying, I mean, I really feel, you know, HDMI, I think, is the way forward for monitors. Honestly.
I say put an HDMI port on everything, from your phone to your monitor to your TVs, obviously have them. You know, it's just, you're right, Kyle.
The one thing that really surprised me was mini HDMI. I can't get over that mini HDMI has just not caught on. Because it's fabulous as a system. It's exactly like an HDMI, but smaller.
But it's what you need for smaller devices, isn't it?
Well, I've got it on my camcorder, and it's the only device I own with a mini HDMI on it. And I can't figure out why. Because all you need
is... nobody finds it. Bad joke, but...
Oh. I don't get why you don't use it. I really don't get why they don't use it anymore, because it's such an easy thing. I love it on my camcorder. But
people are idiots, Ewan.
Thank you.
Last it.
It's the same with FireWire, isn't it? You know,
Good point. Yeah.
It's dying out. You know, as everyone here knows, for video editing or whatever, it's fantastic.
See, I mean, FireWire as well, it's dying out faster than it should, because USB 3 is not here. Because Intel won't license it.
The laptop that I got the other week has got USB 3.
No, it hasn't.
Yes, it has.
No, it hasn't. It's got a port, but it hasn't got USB 3. Because Intel won't license it on the chips, will they?
Okay. As I haven't got a USB 3 device to test it with, I can't validate that. But
well, no, that's definitely...
I love that.
That's definitely...
Okay, Ewan.
That's definitely...
No, fair enough. I mean,
you're right, but I'm not going to say so.
I played it, tested it, tested the ports with USB 3 speeds to see if it actually is working at USB 3 port. But Windows 7 tells me it's running USB 3.
Right, it's cool.
That's Sarah being secretly pissed off, but that's her mild way of showing it. All right.
Unfortunately for you, Sarah, okay. What you're looking at there is the OS picking it up and the data tag for the port saying I'm a USB 3.0 port, and the OS says yes you are, because I'm ready for USB 3.0. But the problem that you've got is that the motherboard and the chip won't receive it, the chip particularly, not the motherboard. So Intel won't license 3.0 because Intel has climbed into bed with Apple for Lightpeak. So until Intel frees up all the chips and lets 3.0 connect to them, everything's running at 2.0. Regardless of what the lead shape looks like. Free the chips.
Free the chips. Yeah.
So
did you see Gary in the chat room? Ewan gets techie.
That's
yeah, I was going to say, who's the techie?
I'm flattered, Gary. Thank you very much, mate. That's as geeky as I can be, but that's because that's what I read, not because of what I know, if you like.
Well, you said it convincingly enough.
I did, yeah.
USB. It's a good job I didn't come back and ask you something in detail about it, wouldn't I? That would have thrown you.
I don't know. I thought I'd do it right. Go on then. Try your worst. It's blue. It's got a little bit on the top of it that hasn't gotten the USB 2.
That's my total experience of using USB 3, and I thought this new laptop had got it on it, so that's fine.
I mean, the beauty is the ports are all backwards compatible with USB 2 and 1.
Yeah.
Fantastic for the consumer. Brilliant. Well done. And the only thing that's hogging it up is the monopoly of the people that make most of the chips for most of the world. Bad luck.
Maybe so what's Google the tie-in, Ewan, between Apple and Lightpeak?
Apple has climbed into bed with Intel to manufacture Lightpeak, which is, as far as I believe, fiber connection. So it'll be way, way faster. You'll be talking, you know, I think it's up to 6 gigabits a second.
10
gigabits a second, is it?
10. But why?
Why did you ask me if you knew the answer?
Well, no. My question though is that you say Intel got into bed with Apple. So are you saying that only Apple is going to put LightPeak on their devices and the rest of the world is screwed? I'd love to see LightPeak on a PC.
Well, only Apple is going to either do it or license it. Yes.
So that's a bad move for on Intel's part.
What, climbing into bed with Steve?
Yeah.
I mean, LightPeak can crush USB 3. I mean, it's huge. I mean, that's just dumb. That frustrates me, Ewan.
Money-wise, it's probably not dumb, though.
Money-wise, it's extremely good because it's going to be the way of the future, and you've got the consortium that owns it as part of your interests.
You can hear the rustling of the sheets right now.
Dutch oven, anyone?
Oh, yuck. Moving on swiftly. I wish I hadn't started the 3.0 now, and so does Sarah.
I know when I'm beat.
A man has sued Rockstar, saying that his likeness is in the GTA game. He just looks like a black dude with plaits, and I'm really sorry I don't to see the resemblance based on the real picture I saw today. And Harry Potter is struggling as a movie thanks to the fact that they can't play it at IMAX box offices because it's not in 3D. So they're playing it at the IMAXs, but they're playing it to empty theatres. We all said that 3D's crap. We all hate 3D from all the things that we've seen, apart from, you know, we've looked at a movie and it wasn't too bad and that kind of stuff, but it's certainly not something that we hang our every word on. But this seems to be a bit of evidence that people really do want it, because if it's not in 3D and it's not on IMAX in 3D, they aren't going to the IMAX. No, Kyle?
Mm-mm. No.
Feel free to disagree.
It's a crap movie.
Have you torrented it then?
No, I haven't torrented it. We went to the theater and seen it.
You really? Seriously? The Philippines got it when it came out.
Yeah.
I figured you'd have it in about 8 months.
Hey, we're not that
like
far
we
behind.
Like we used to, you.
We got it same day, you know, probably because of piracy and all that. They've been trying to do that here because, let's face it, Philippines is also another market known for piracy. It comes off China and everything else. But, and the movie's just not as good. It's part one of two, I think. I just don't think it was done as well.
Wow.
And, you know, Kyle, that's not entirely the movie's fault, because I read the book actually just like 2 months ago, and the first half of the book is a snooze fest. They're just wandering around, no clue what to do. How do you turn that into a movie?
Mm.
Well, that's part one.
And part two's
maybe
out.
Maybe part two.
You know,
part two will be fantastic,
year.
I'm sure, but ugh.
Because that's pretty much, that is part one. And, oh, boy, hey, Harry, what do we do? Goodbye. And,
let's stumble around some more.
Okay.
So the franchise is trying to expand its market by putting Goofy in there. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, boy.
That's what it sounds like.
We're Guardian Leviosa.
Oh, boy.
It's the Sorcerer's Apprentice.
Oh, it's Voldemort again.
Right. The rest of the news this week I thought wasn't particularly good anyway. So Howard Stern didn't sign for Apple for $600 million, unfortunately, because that would have been a good story. Lufthansa launched Wi-Fi on intercontinental flights, so instead of just going over the over land and getting 50 megabits a second, you can now go transatlantic and overseas and that kind of thing and get 50 megabits a second. I'll explain 52 megabits a second to you afterwards, Carl. You can charge your phone using a huge fan. Apart from that, I thought the news was pretty crap. Has anyone got anything that they saw this week that really tickled them? Thank God.
Thank you, Dane.
Dane,
you.
Save Please. Us all.
This is the unheralded news of the week that no one cares about but me.
Go for it.
YouTube's video length is no more.
Oh. What?
The limitation's gone.
For certain people.
Yeah.
Yes, the ones that aren't posting copyrighted material like me.
There you go. Yeah.
That was always the case, wasn't it, Dane?
No.
If
no,
you got a director's
indeed, no.
account
we
or
had
something,
a,
wasn't
at
it?
At Twit, we had to get special dispensation to go over 10 minutes, and now most recently 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so with my own show most recently, I've been cutting down a clip that's 15 minutes long and posting it, And as of yesterday, without any special prompting for me, I can upload seemingly any length. I uploaded a 45-minute video, and that's just really excited for me.
Wow.
So I mean, is that anybody?
Anyone who's not posting copyrighted material, that's what we're saying.
Apparently.
Yeah, or they
apparently. Apparently.
They haven't had any infringements or something in the past, yeah, I mean, where they've been caught doing that or whatever. Well, to me, it's a no-brainer. YouTube has to do this. I mean, we've got Blip TV out there unlimited. You got Vimeo out there that's unlimited. You got so many sites out there that do unlimited now. They kind of have to play catch-up because YouTube is still the destination. And
but this is free,
yeah, I was happy
right?
to see this.
This is free.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
So
as free you can get from Google.
Working on
included.
Working on the basis that they've got currently Christ knows how many billion videos up there, and they're getting, is it 2 billion plays a day?
35 hours of video is uploaded every minute.
Wow.
Yep.
So, I mean, the statement's fantastic in terms of letting people do it, but the thing that's just boggled me straight away there is the infrastructure that must be behind them to allow for the upload, download, and viewing of all of that video material at an unlimited length. That just scares the hell out of me.
How's that money coming from the Android platform?
Yeah, maybe. And they're giving it away again. Free.
Ads included.
Ads included. Do you get ads on all your content as well then, Dane?
I don't know.
See, my stuff's got a little tiny banner ad that pops up at the bottom, but it's fairly unobtrusive. It's not exactly in your face. I'm okay with it. I wouldn't buy myself out of that.
I'm just saying that the ads are there, you know, for sure. And I'll take an ad to have unlimited video on YouTube. Fantastic.
Yeah.
No, that's good. Good stuff. So basically, we could have recorded today and we could have pushed the whole thing up to YouTube on the account, and I didn't realize. Well done.
I have another question. Is anyone interested in the DDoS attacks that keep going on?
There's been a lot this week, isn't there? WikiLeaks has been absolutely hammered because of that. And also Visa has been hammered. Barclays Bank's been hammered. NatWest has been hammered because of the fact of controlling donations to WikiLeaks. Mm. So people have really, really, really taken it to heart, haven't they, with this stuff?
I just find it very interesting, and my video is degrading for some reason, it looks like, but
I thought
I
it was the
really
plastic surgery
that,
melting.
That the initially the WikiLeaks site was DDoSed, attacked, and tried to shut down by these, zombie computers that are used to attack sites. And then once it was shut down by their hosting service, their registrar, and MasterCard and PayPal, then a group of 4chan folks started this campaign to DDoS the people that were shutting down WikiLeaks. And so there's all these different DDoSing. There's a war going on right now this week of information and openness and closed information. I don't really know what it means yet, but I think it's very interesting.
There's so much misdirection. You don't know whether that's the governments that are doing the DDoS attacking in the first place, and then they're masquerading it through someone else to make it look like it's some actionary group. Then the banks are getting hit by the people that are hitting back on it. It is an absolute war. That's exactly what it is, Dan. You're on the money there. But you cannot for the life of you figure out what's truth and what's BS at the moment. And as far as the rape charge against Julian Assange goes, if he really has done it, then I feel really sorry for the person that he did rape, because the chances are, with all the misdirection that's going on, he's probably going to walk away from it, because there's so much supposition going on around it. It's not good.
Well, I'd like to say who I blame for all the DDoS attacks. Can I say that?
It's your dollar.
I'm blaming Microsoft.
Oh.
This is not going to hit.
Oh, shit. I thought he was going to say Barry on the corner. No, you can't say that.
You know why I blame Microsoft?
Go on. I'm interested. I'm all ears, Dane.
Okay. Well,
I'd just like to say that anything that Dane's about to say is his own opinion entirely, and if you'd like to sue him, it's 431. No, go ahead, Dane. Sorry.
Actually, you can call me now, 415-439-0639. But I'll tell you why I blame Microsoft. All of these old operating systems that are still running, many of them not just in third world countries, but places where people have used bootleg software.
Pirated
software. Yeah. Of Windows 98, Windows 2000, and so forth. None of those pirated software get the security updates, to my knowledge. And correct me if I'm wrong, guys. But pirated software does not get security updates, which means thousands and thousands of computers are creating essentially a national security risk because Microsoft will not update software that, you know, relatively innocent people have put on their machines, which is creating a threat to the entire internet. So that's my roundabout way of saying Microsoft is to blame. Does that sound far-fetched?
Yeah, the only thing I would say about that, Dane, is I was under the impression that even if you've got an illegal copy, certainly of XP, running, you are allowed to download high-security updates.
Mm.
I thought you were, from stuff I've seen before.
Because I had heard differently, but that was some time ago. I hadn't researched it recently, but that's what Steve Gibson had said a while back on Security Now. This is now a year and a half ago, but haven't looked into it lately. But I strongly have suspicions that some of these real old operating systems that are most likely the zombie machines that people are using to create these DDoS attacks, those are the ones without security updates that Microsoft refuses to patch. Oh,
sure.
Or they're no longer
supported. If you're running anything pre-XP, I think that's certainly a possibility. Maybe I'm not sure about the situation with 2000, but certainly anything pre that, if you're using that, you're just asking for trouble.
Hang on a second.
Okay. Now while Ewan hangs on for a second.
That's all right. That's kind of weird. I thought it might play that, but it doesn't. Now, I thought we were getting a phone call then, but we're not. It's all right.
All right.
I was going to play a phone ringtone and go, "Hello? Is Dane there? This is Dean Farmer."
Dane is actually right. I don't know how I don't know about the people, the innocent installing software on their PC. I mean, very much here in the Philippines, if you go to a certain place and you're paying, 100 pesos for a copy of Windows 7, which is like $2. I think you pretty much know that isn't the legitimate software. But he's absolutely right. And when you think about Windows 98, how many computers still have Windows 98? I've seen government offices here have Windows 98 still on the computer at certain places. I won't mention them, but because I don't want to get deported. But it is, and Microsoft doesn't support that anymore. They don't
do it. If you want a healthier internet and a more secure internet, someone can go out there and create some patches for these legacy systems that are free. Can't you?
Well, they have. I know there's
anymore.
Some fellow put together a service pack of security patches for Windows 98 that is readily available, free to download. You just have to Google Windows 98 service pack and you'll find it. So, yeah, there's some people out there that do that.
And Microsoft aren't stopping that.
Nope.
Good on them.
Why should they?
I was going to say.
They don't support it. Why do they care?
Grateful for the person that's done it.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll just say it once again. Screw it. Let's all go to Linux.
For another week until everyone finds out we've gone to Linux. It's like trying to run away from your mum in the bar.
That's true.
She'll find you
at least
in the
for
end.
1 week. 1 week will be safe, Ewan. That's all I care about.
So, Dane, would you like to modify your statement? It's Microsoft's fault, or would you? And it's really the people that are stealing it that are at fault.
No, I would say that it's Microsoft's fault. I mean, if you steal a candy bar, yes, you're at fault for stealing a candy bar. But if someone puts a gun in the candy bar, then they're at fault. And, you know, they did it more for their business purposes, to so that people don't get free upgrades if they stole software, which is fair. But I think that there's a larger harm now to the overall internet economy and community that creates an unsafe. It's really the lowest common denominator, in my opinion, that's probably creating the field that makes these DDoS attacks possible. So yeah, I think that there are a lot of people, not just Microsoft, but Microsoft, I think, was long time to blame and still holds a lot of that blame, and they haven't done anything to fix it. I don't think it'd be very expensive.
Let's do a survey. How many computers at the Department of Defense are running Windows 98? I'd be surprised.
God, I think about it.
Probably quite a few.
The thing is with this, we're actually moving into the realms of not just people who have actually bought illegal copies of it, but people who have maybe been using it for the last 10 years and just never upgraded.
True. I just got the vision in my head of some kid going into it. Mom, these candy bars are huge. No, put that one down, son. It's loaded.
Some of my metaphors are odd, but
no,
but
that works.
I got it. I stand by my statement. Absolutely, Microsoft is largely to blame.
It's a sugar-coated Smith & Wesson.
I think it's a problem that when those operating systems came out, no one envisaged would be an issue. Otherwise, I think Microsoft might have been a bit smarter in their approach to how they handle.
Are those the same people systems that thought we wouldn't need four digits for dates?
It's funny you say that, Ewan, because how many times have we heard that in the vision of the internet age? Oh, we didn't anticipate that. Oh, we didn't foresee that. Oh God, what's next? You know.
Yeah, you're just gonna say.
I think the next thing is our smartphones. That's the next big craze. Mm. How do I infect your smartphone? And we already kind of see it, actually, but when you get something like Android out there, and if it becomes so huge at 300,000 activated every day, somebody's sitting there going, all right, you are the new Windows.
Yeah.
The first thing you do when you create an operating system is remember to look at the Mayan calendar, without a doubt. Right. Have we got any cool thingies? Kyle, you got a cool thingy for us?
I do. It is called iPhone Explorer, and what it does is it essentially turns your iPhone, even your iPad or iPod Touch, into a drive, like a flash drive. I put a link there in the chat room, and it's absolutely free. You can copy and move things over from files to folders just like you would a flash drive. Mm-hmm. I find it very, very handy, and it's kind of a way around the Apple way of doing things. If you want to have more control over your device,
connectivity through your cable, so it's not a Bluetooth connectivity
It's through the cable, through the USB cable.
And how does 2.0, this? How does this differ from Double Twist or something like that?
Well, in a sense, they're probably pretty much the same. What I like about this, though, is it works exactly like a flash drive does. You put in your iPhone, and of course, you close everything out on your screen. This will show up as like a, you know, drive D, drive E, whatever, and then you can literally go in and drag and drop files and these kind of things. And it works for iPod Touch and even the iPad as well.
Brilliant. Great choice, mate. Thank you very much. Dane, do you have a cool thingy for us?
I don't really. Can I do an app?
Yeah, you can do anything you like.
All right. So my app is Xfinity app, which I'm still testing.
Mm-hmm.
That's my iPhone 3GS and a Mophi on the back there. But the Xfinity app, and of course, Xfinity is the new name for Comcast because they're trying to rebrand themselves. But it enables me to search and play content on my television and use it as a remote, both as a remote where I can control what I record and play, or I can actually play from the phone or the iPad, as the case may be. So I'm still testing it, but and it's not really that great. It doesn't have the sort of bouncy feel that a normal iPhone app does, but it shows a lot of promise.
Very good. Price?
Free.
Free, excellent. We like free.
The cable's expensive, the phone's, but the app is actually not.
Right, Troy, your application for us, and I've lost the bloody jingle again. I hate doing this.
Ready, Kyle?
No.
I said, Sarah, it's so close to Christmas. I want to stay on YouTube.
You can do it next week when I'm not here. There you go.
Ah?
You'll be in the hands of Santa next week. You can do it when he's doing it all.
Troy Kings Android app.
Yeah. Troy, have you got an Android app for us? Don't say no after that lot.
I do, actually, of course, never fail. This week, I'm going with the Google Books app, which you can find on your Android device, of course, in the marketplace. You can get it for your iPod, iPad, or on the web even, or for your Nook or Sony Reader. And it ties into Google's ebook service, where you can buy or acquire free classic books, and it goes into your Google Books account, and then it syncs automatically with your device, and then it'll actually sync between devices. So if you are reading on your phone and you're halfway through a chapter, you fire it up on your iPad or on the web when you get home, and it'll pick up right where you left off. So I fiddled with it a little bit this week. It seems really nice. It's a lot of good options for text size and fonts and whatnot. And it's free, so it's perfect.
Excellent. Free, we love free. Sarah, cool thingy.
Mine is a Firefox plugin called HTTPS Everywhere. Some of you may have come across it before. Must admit, it's something I've only discovered in the last couple of weeks. What it is, it's a plugin that will, when you actually, if you use a Wi-Fi hotspot, and you're not on a secure connection, what it will do is it will actually try and find a secure server for popular websites like Twitter and Google and so on and so forth, and it will automatically redirect to using the HTTPS site, so it secures the connection.
Free?
It's free. I've been using it for a couple of weeks now, and it does work. It's really good.
Excellent. Good pick. My pick for this one, I'm going to put it up here on the camera in front of everyone. Do apologise. But it's the best camera to look at it. My pick is Dactyl. Dactyl is, it's like Chase the Gopher kind of game, where you play it in classic mode and it gives you a whole load of bombs that are on timers or fuses. And when you start, you have to hit the fuses before they... I didn't even do it there. There you go. You have to hit all the fuses before they all blow up, and it's free in the App Store, and it's addictive like you wouldn't believe. It's annoyingly addictive. It's don't do any frigging work today addictive.
Angry Birds addictive.
I was going to say you were worried about Angry Birds last weekend.
Beyond Angry Birds addictive.
Really. Oh, that's scary.
The thing is, I switched it on, and you just saw there, look, where you put it on and you think, right, okay, here we go. You think it's going to be slow, and you'll start off with like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and you get faster and faster and faster. It starts at warp speed. It puts 4 bombs on straight away on like a 1 second fuse. And it's fantastic. It's absolutely brilliant. I've managed to get up to 68 before it beat me. But I'm stuck on 60. I can't get past 68 at the moment. And it's just really annoying because you're like, I know I can do 69. I know I can do... You always know you can do just one more. And you can't. It's free. There you go. Dactyl. D-A-C-T-Y-L. That's it. D-A-C-T-Y-L. Okay, last word, of course, goes to our sponsors. We'd be absolutely lost without them. I was telling Kyle yesterday that we've had a bit of a problem this week. We've kind of overloaded the servers a little bit, so I think they were hoping that we would move on to the VPS a little bit faster than we have. We've done 3/4 of a terabyte last month.
Congratulations.
I don't think UK2 quite see it that way. That is going to be just fine as long as all of you are going to the UK2 website through the uk2.net link off bageltechnews.com or bageltechmedia.com or bageltechphoto.com or bageltechdroid or bageltechrage. Please, if you like listening to any of the shows that are on the network, whichever one it is, go to that one site and click on the link through to uk2.net, because at 3/4 of a terabyte of data, we're done. We're absolutely sunk. If they pulled the plug on us, the plug would empty all the water out. We're lost entirely. So please support our sponsor. They have been absolutely fantastic. You know, there's a lot of people say, oh, we couldn't do shows without our sponsor. Thanks ever so much to our sponsor. And then the following week, there's another sponsor there. This is the one sponsor. We really couldn't do any of the shows without these guys. They are absolutely fantastic to us. And when there's a bill for renewal, it goes out as zero. And when we need help and we need support, they're brilliant. They really support us. They do anything for e-commerce, that kind of stuff, domain names. Just go and see them, please. You don't have to buy from them if you really don't want anything. Just make sure you click on the link every single week, please, because it makes an enormous difference to us. That's uk2.net, but go to the Bagel Tech sites first and please click through on the tracking link from our site, because otherwise we're all stumped. They're wonderful. Thank you, UK2. Right. The other thing that we want to ask you to do is give us some reviews, please. Because without reviews in iTunes, we don't climb up the charts, and we are desperately hoping that that we'll get better and better. We were the number one episode in the UK store for all of last week for tech news, and we were the number three for technology. So it was fantastic. Thank you ever so much. For those
Good
people
job.
That downloaded, we're doing really, really well, and we're growing all the time, and there's lots of people leaving lots of nice comments. Thank you ever so much if you have bothered to review us, but please give us more reviews, because it's what helps climb us in the overall rankings. There we go. Begging done. Kyle, where can we get a hold of you?
The media show here on the Bagel Tech Network, Bagel Tech Media, bageltechmedia.com for that. Wednesday, Saturday editions, twice a week. Also, of course, on the photography show on the network, Bagel Tech Photo. And a couple of times a week doing the news, the daily show. And you can get me on Twitter at twitter.com/KyleSwagger.
Yes, jolly good. Dane, where can we get a hold of your show and contact you for information? And
Hey.com.
Good man.
Go to hey.com. Subscribe to me on iTunes. The Hey with Dane Golden is the name of the show. And I'm at Dane Golden on Twitter. Or you can be my Facebook friend. I like Facebook friends.
Friends are good. Yeah. We like
yeah,
that.
I friended Dane this week. Thank you very much, Dane.
Thank you for being my friend.
Oh,
thank you.
I hope we don't hug.
No.
Troy, where can we get a hold of you, mate?
I am at BagelTechRage.com and BagelTechDroid.com. The Rage show I do Tuesdays and Fridays. The Droid show just once a week on Fridays. And I'm on Twitter at BagelTechRage and BagelTechDroid.
The way you've been going on the last couple of weeks, I'd have expected you to reference a courthouse somewhere near you. But have you been served yet?
Nope.
Wow. They're going to find you, dude. They're going to find you. You can't keep that curtain closed forever.
They'll never take me alive.
Good man. You'll never take me alive, Bomber. Sarah, where can we get a hold of you?
My website is sarahjaneuk.com, and you can get hold of me on Twitter at sarahjaneuk.
Now, we keep promising everyone we're going to go over to a new server soon. How long do you think before we'll get over?
Well, the new site is actually done. We've got a few little problems we need to iron out, but I'm hoping we can do it over between Christmas and New Year.
Oh, so it'll be so much easier to upload stuff, and also it should mean, because it's a bigger server and it's got its own little spot, we shouldn't be struggling with some of the issues that we've had in the last couple of weeks.
Hope so.
I couldn't find the FTP today on 15 attempts, but it was my end apparently, not UK2. So sorry UK2 for swearing a few times, and it wasn't you, it was me. Sarah keeps us afloat, of course, in terms of the web. She's fantastic. We couldn't do the show without her either, so thanks, Sarah. Big Christmas present coming. We'll be back again next week with the Bagel Tech Big Show. We'll be here with the Daily Show every day with Santa, with more crap for Christmas. But the real treat for all of you is that right here next week in the studio, Santa will be hosting Bagel Tech Big. Yeah, there he is, trying to puzzle it
in
out.
The
came,
studio.
Came by this afternoon, tried to fathom out how to use stuff, and that's why everything didn't work when I got back, because of all the screwing around he'd done with it. But Santa will be here next week, and he'll host the show, as which could go anywhere. We shall see. Have a good weekend. Thanks for listening. I've never meant that more than now.